Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jonathan Meisel.
God is at work in us, among us, and through us. Sometimes we know that in a very dramatic and real way, right? Sometimes we can see it, and sometimes when God's working in and through us, we only know it sort of after the fact. When we look back over a series of events and we can see that God had been making a difference throughout those various stages of that process. About 10 years ago, I was on staff of a Wesleyan church in Willow Grove, and the decision was made by that church that the position was no longer financially viable, that they had to eliminate my position. And that started a period of several months of significant anxiety, as you can imagine, not really sure what was going to happen, what we were going to do. I worked in a call center for a period of time, and we were just really kind of questioning what was the next step in this process of life that God had for us. And somewhere along the line in that time, I learned on Craigslist, of all places, of a church in Paoli called Paoli Presbyterian Church that was looking for a church business administrator on a half-time basis. Not knowing anything or very little about this church, I responded with my resume like I did for many, many other positions around that time. Little did I know some of the things that were happening on the other side of that process. Because a few months before that, about 6 months before that, I had called one of my college roommates who's a CPA in the area, and I had asked him whether or not he knew of someone in the area who could help with some questions that we were having in that church with our business practices. He connected me with the church administrator at his church, who in turn invited me to go to a regional meeting of church administrators. While there, the one time that I went to that meeting, I met a man who, it turned out, was the predecessor to the position here at Paoli Presbyterian Church. And so when my resume was sent to this church, he saw that, recognized my name, and asked the personnel committee to take a look, make sure you take a look at this resume. Long story short, through the vetting process, I was eventually hired, and the process led ultimately to me being called as a pastor here in this congregation. There is no way 10 years ago, when I was beginning that whole process, wondering where God was leading, wondering what was next, there was no way that I would have been able to know that at the end of 10 years, that I would be standing here as one of the associate pastors of this church. And yet, God was leading through that process. Only after the fact, only after many decisions had been made by me and by other people, only after the fact, could you recognize the ways that God was moving, the ways that God was directing, and the ways that God was leading? This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 8, in which God is clearly at work, bringing people together, bringing particularly two individuals together, a guy named Philip and another guy referred to as an Ethiopian eunuch. And in the process of bringing them together, we are reminded today that God is still at work. Sometimes it's very dramatic, like we're going to see in this passage, and sometimes it's the ordinary events of life where God is at work. But in the midst of all of that, and in the midst of this encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, we're going to be reminded of something very important, and that is that each one of us in this room, each one of us in Paoli, in the surrounding community, each one of us around the world, each one of us matters to God. And in the process of Philip going down and interacting with the Ethiopian eunuch, we're going to be reminded that not only do we each matter to God, but that we are all, everybody, is welcome to the family of faith. That God is making a path available to us, and that God is desiring for each one of us to come into that relationship with himself. So this morning, we're going to read from Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to begin with verse 26. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, we read this. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now, last Sunday, Becca kicked off our fall series of sermons by reminding us of three key realities of the church. Everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. And today we are beginning a 5-week look at that very first part of those things. Everybody's welcome. And we're doing that by journeying through a handful of opportunities in the book of Acts where there was significant times of welcoming, of recognizing that the body of Christ can receive individuals from many different places and backgrounds and other kinds of circumstances, that everybody's welcome. And we're launching that study this morning by looking at two rather unique individuals, Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. As we get into examining their two lives and looking at them a little bit more closely, we're going to recognize that on its surface, they would not seem like a likely pair of people that would come together. And yet God was at work. And in God working and moving between these two individuals, some amazing things happened. And in fact, by the end, they were no longer two strangers, but they were brothers in Christ. And they underscore an important lesson that we're going to remember today. And that is, everybody's welcome. The beginning of this passage, the first person that is brought to us is this guy named Philip. Philip is first introduced to us in the book of Acts several chapters earlier when the first deacons were called. So those of you who are currently deacons in the church or have served as deacons in the past, Philip was one of the first people who served in this role. And in that day, in that particular circumstance, it was primarily an act of sharing kindness, sharing help for the widows and the orphans in the church who had not been receiving the kind of care that they needed. But all of these individuals who were serving as deacons were also described as being full of the Holy Spirit and being guided by God in that manner. Philip was only serving in the local church for a little bit of time because at the beginning of chapter 8, we see that he has already branched out to the area of Samaria and is now serving as an evangelist to Samaria. And he's not just an ordinary evangelist. He's not just an ordinary person proclaiming this message of hope in Jesus Christ. In fact, he's doing a quite remarkable job as the Holy Spirit works in and through him. In that first part of chapter 8 of Acts, we see that there are large numbers of people who are coming to faith in Christ. Many people who are being healed. Many lives that were being changed. And many, many more who were being baptized. It was a remarkable and an amazing thing that was occurring in Samaria. But as our passage opens this morning, as we begin to read, we see that Philip is not called to do what we might expect him to do. In light of the great success that was happening there in Samaria, we might expect that the next part of this would be how they were just continuing to build on their earlier work, and that it was continuing to multiply there, that the church was growing by leaps and bounds in Samaria. But that's not what we see, is it? Instead, as this passage begins, it says that Philip, guided by an angel of the Lord, was told to go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to most of us if we hear about a road going down from Jerusalem to Gaza, but the descriptor that comes after it is a little bit more appropriate, because this wasn't just an ordinary road, it was a wilderness road, is what it says there. It was a road that was not in the middle of Samaria. And it raises the very first question in our minds is, why would God take an individual away from what is clearly a highly successful ministry in Samaria and send him down to this deserted and lonely area south of Jerusalem? Surely that wasn't God's original plan. Surely God wasn't interested in what might be down there on that lonely wilderness road. And yet God used that opportunity to remind Philip and to remind us that while the crowds are important and God wants to make a difference through the crowds, God is also interested in the people down on the lonely wilderness road. In fact, if there's only one person down that lonely road, or one plus his entourage, it was worth pulling Philip away from the crowds of Samaria and sending them down to this man on the wilderness road. Philip didn't know what God was going to call him to do. Philip didn't know what the things were that God was going to how God was going to use him. But when Philip heard God calling to him, nudging him, pointing him toward this opportunity, he went and he followed after God. And as you and I live our lives, how often are we sensitive to God giving us nudges in our lives? I mean, sometimes we get those nudges as we read Scripture, and it's something that's pretty clear that we're called to do, that God is guiding us to do. Sometimes God uses the circumstances and situations of life, opening doors and closing doors, and pointing us in that direction. And sometimes God gives us that subtle nudge, that nudge to pick up the phone and give that person a call that we haven't thought about for a little while, that nudge to write a note of encouragement, that nudge to go to our neighbor and introduce ourselves if we haven't done so. Sometimes there are those nudges in life that are clear like Philip had, and sometimes God kind of points us in those directions. Are we sensitive to that? Are we listening for those ways that God is inviting us to be like Philip? To be like Philip and make a difference in someone else's life? Philip didn't know what all God was going to do with him, but he heard and sensed the voice of God, and in the process, he was willing to leave Samaria and go down to this desert road, where he met a man that he didn't know before, that he didn't know he was going to meet, a man who is described to us as an Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way, returning from Jerusalem, where he had been worshiping, back to his home in Ethiopia. He doesn't even have a name in this passage. And so, in many respects, he's about as obscure as we can get. And yet, even in his name, we recognize that everybody's welcome. Because not only did God send Philip from this important work in Samaria to this one man, but we also know in this description of the Ethiopian eunuch that God's plan for hope, forgiveness, and faith extends well beyond just those who were part of the Jewish faith in Jerusalem. Part of that comes to us in that name, Ethiopia. Ethiopia was not exactly the same geographic area where Ethiopia is today, but it was an area just south of Egypt. And in many respects, it was in what is called the Upper Nile area. It was an area that was not particularly close to Jerusalem, but clearly it was an area in which the word of the faith of the Israelite people had spread. Because somehow this man, through the people of his land, had learned and had found out that it was in Jerusalem where the God of the Israelites was worshipped. And he had made his way there. But when he got there, no doubt he quickly realized that as an Ethiopian, he was not the same as all of the people that were there in Jerusalem. He was of a different nationality. He was probably racially and ethnically different. And no doubt, as a result, as he was worshiping there, as he was attempting to worship there, he soon learned, as a result of some of the guidance that we read in the Old Testament, that parts of that worship were not open to him. And yet, in spite of that, Philip was sent to this seeming outsider with a message of hope and forgiveness. And this morning, we are reminded that God cares about the crowds and God cares about the individual. We are reminded that God cares about the people in Paoli, Pennsylvania, and God cares about the people around the world. People of various nations and ethnicities and races are part of God's plan. Everybody's welcome. This man was outside of what would have been considered the norm of people who would follow after God. And yet God was reaching out to him through Philip to make a difference. The last way that we see the unique way that God extended and recognized that everybody's welcome was in the second descriptor of this man. He was an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, there are a couple of options about how that word eunuch, where that word comes from. On the one hand, it's possible that this was a descriptor of a particular station, a military position of that day. It's possible that a eunuch was a descriptor of someone in a particular position. However, the second potential definition of that is most likely the case in this situation. And that is that he was a male who had been castrated. And the reason that it's likely that that is the case is because he was working in close proximity to the queen mother of Ethiopia. And it seems very unlikely that he would have been entrusted to that kind of a role and that kind of position unless he had been made into a eunuch. And so, if that being the case, when he came up to worship God, when he was seeking after God, he would have been known as physically marred. And again, when we look back into the book of Deuteronomy, we recognize that as a result, this alone would have barred him from worshiping God. And yet, Philip was sent by God to the lonely road, to one man who was of another nation, of another ethnicity, of another tribe, a man who was physically marred and physically marked, and yet Philip was sent to him. Why? Because everybody's welcome. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful reminder to us that the gift of hope, the gift of forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ, is a gift that's available regardless of the group that we're a part of, regardless of the nationality, regardless of what we may see of ourselves. It's not what we can do for God. It's not how we can get ourselves to God. It's what God has done through Jesus Christ for you and for me. Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch because everybody's welcome. And when he arrived, still not knowing really what was going to happen, he was listening to that voice of God and he was going step by step by step. Eventually, he was told to get close enough where he could hear that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading something from inside of his chariot. And I don't know about you, but I can only imagine what Philip must have felt like when he got close enough to hear and to understand what it was that Ethiopian eunuch was reading. Because he wasn't just reading the latest information about the world. He wasn't even just reading some portion of Scripture. He was reading a section of the prophet Isaiah's writings that was talking about the Messiah. You see, there were questions that were raised in his mind. He had been prepared, just as Philip had been prepared for this place. The Ethiopian eunuch had been prepared for just this time and just this place. And when Philip arrived, he was asking the question like, what do I do next? And you know, there's a remarkable part of that story, and the remarkable reminder is that sometimes when we think about sharing about God and Jesus with people around us, sometimes that can feel like a very, very daunting task. The reality is, just as God opens up those opportunities for us to extend kindness and love to others, God's also preparing the other person to raise those kinds of questions, to raise those circumstances and situations where we have the opportunity to express not some obscure fact, but to express the good things that God has done in and through our lives. When Philip arrived, the Ethiopian eunuch was asking questions about the Messiah. He was prepared precisely to receive this message from Philip. And that's precisely what Philip did. Starting with this question of who this passage was talking about, Philip started at that point, but didn't leave the Ethiopian eunuch with his questions. Instead, he helped him to see that Jesus was indeed the one that was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. And that in foretelling of this, that Jesus had come to this earth, had lived the perfect life that neither the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip, or you or me could live. And that he had gone to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. That he had died to pay the penalty for our sins. And that he had rose again, giving us the hope of eternal life. That was the good news. That was the message that Philip was able to share with the Ethiopian eunuch. And that was the message that changed his life. We know it changed his life because he got to the end of that and he began to say, Philip, what reason is there that I shouldn't be baptized? And Philip said, there is no reason. Let's find some water and let's get you baptized. Because he had responded to this message of hope that was available through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this morning, I don't know which of those individuals you can most readily relate to. For some of us, maybe we're sitting here today and we can say, I really can relate to where that Ethiopian eunuch is coming from because I've had lots of questions and I've really wondered about this whole thing with God. I mean, you're here today and you're worshiping and you've been through parts of that, but you may be still asking the question, what is this whole message of hope and forgiveness? If that's the case, it's no accident that you're here today because God has been and continues to work in your life to call you, to welcome you, to bring you to a place of receiving and knowing that you are loved, forgiven, and there is hope in Jesus Christ. That's the offer, the gift that's available to each one. And that's the reminder to us that everybody's welcome, that there is an offer to you today of forgiveness, of hope, and of new life. For those of you who see yourselves and lined up with that Ethiopian eunuch, the opportunity to receive that love of God, that gift of forgiveness, that gift of hope is available right now. And God invites you to receive it. For others, you may align yourself, or you may see yourself more closely with Philip. You've recognized that hope and that forgiveness of God. You recognize the difference that God makes in and through your life. For you, the encouragement here today is to have ears to hear like Philip did, to have eyes to see as God directs, to look for those opportunities, those places in your life where God is giving you those nudges, to build a new bridge, to build a fresh relationship, with the opportunity that when those questions arise, when those needs arise, when those opportunities arise to share the hope of Jesus Christ, that God, through the Holy Spirit, is not only preparing you for that moment, but is preparing the other as well. This is a remarkable passage. It is an amazing story of how God worked, not just in Philip, and not just in the Ethiopian eunuch, but throughout this entire passage in many different ways and in many different paths. And that same God, that God who loves you and loves me more than we can begin to imagine, is at work in our lives, in our world today. Do we see it? Do we hear it? Are we open God's guidance and leadership.